Good morning and welcome to Sports Interview with Ann Liguori, where we are every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 Eastern Standard Time. And you can hear us from anywhere on the planet at PeconicPublicBroadcasting.org. This show, boy, we talk to experts in sports, and we are here talking golf today for the whole hour. It's our annual visit to the PGA Merchandising Show in Orlando, Florida, where more than 40,000 golf industry professionals gather around the world. Over 1,000 golf companies are here exhibiting, and they are calling it the major of the golf business, which makes sense, right? I mean, the traffic has been amazing. The buzz is real. I don't know if it's because it's raining out, hopefully not, but the last couple of days, it's been just so busy, and we're going to talk a little bit about that and what that means for the state of golf. It all actually started Tuesday with a demo day, which took place at Orange County National Golf Center, a great place to demo clubs, putters, all kinds of products, and the show continues here at the Orange County Convention Center with all kinds of exhibits, seminars, presentations, and special events. There are actually 47 testing bays here, Doc, at the Indoor Equipment Test Center. I actually tested a lot of clubs Tuesday because we're so busy this week that we don't even get a chance to go and swing the club. But you brought your putter here, so everybody who's here, I want you to test the doctor's new putting system. He's going to talk about that in a second. It's the 63rd PGA Merchandising Show, and special this year was the kickoff celebration to the PGA of America Centennial Celebration. All right, if you want more information on this show, and every show is archived at AnnLiguori.com. I have the poster out here. We have the Ann Liguori Foundation. We raise money for cancer research and cancer prevention. And my golf event actually is at Friar's Head, all you Long Islanders, on Monday, May 23rd. So hope you can join us for that. We raise a lot of money for cancer research, cancer prevention, and we can talk about some of that as well this hour. In this special edition of Sports Interview, we will talk with Dr. Frank Fornari, PhD, Chief Executive Officer of Biomech Sports, co-inventor designer of the AccuLock putting system. Now, Dr. Fornari has an incredible background. He has more educational degrees than, I don't know, probably everybody in this building put together. The guy's unbelievable. He has a PhD in molecular pharmacology and toxicology with a postdoctoral training in medicinal chemistry, drug design, synthetic chemistry. Now, what does that have to do with golf? Well, we're going to find out because the doctor is here to tell us all about his background, how he got into the golf world, about his AccuLock putting system, and his study of optimal putting motion and all about the AccuLock putting system. Then Dick Sullivan, the president and CEO of the PGA Tour Superstore, will join us. You all have heard of the PGA Tour Superstore. Stores, they're all over the country. There's a huge one right down the road here in Orlando. Dick Sullivan was instrumental before his work with PGA Tour Superstores in helping build two of the most respected brands in America, Home Depot and the Atlanta Falcons. So we're going to visit with Dick Sullivan, the CEO of PGA Tour Superstores, later in the show. Steve Phillips from Sprite Flag Reflectors and Nicholas Phillips will join us as well. Can't wait to hear about their progress. Fellow Buckeyes, let's hear it for the Buckeye State. Yes, all right. And we're also going to talk about Irish golf, Allison Metcalf from Tourism Ireland, and John McLaughlin, CEO of North and West Coast Lynx, and John Farron, General Manager, Ballyliffin Golf Club in Northern Ireland. They will be with us as well. We have a lot to do, and I want to give a shout-out to the United States Blind Golf Association. Tanya is adorable. Let's hear for Tanya. Look at this lab, right? Tanya is a lab. How old is Tanya? 10 years old. How cute is Tanya? And she's a service dog. And Dick Como is here as well. John McCourt, blind golf coach and member of the United States Blind Golf Association Hall of Fame. You guys do incredible work. I was able to golf with you. Some of your members of the Blind Golf Association, at Whippoorwill, right? In Westchester and Mount Kisco for the, what's the name of the tournament? The Guiding Eyes Classic. And that is That is spectacular. Eli Manning hosts that. So I would love to get up there this year and support that organization. You guys do great work. And I can remember golfing with the national champion, and four of us missed the 8-foot putt, and he made it. Pat Brown. A guy was amazing. So he was our secret weapon. So my regards to the United States Blind Golf Association and all the great work you do and the fine work you do in golf. And you're just great players. So congratulations. Anyway, I'm just so happy to be here taping the show at the PGA Merchandising Show. And coming up in a second, we are going to visit with a doctor who has a fascinating background. I think you're going to be just completely interested in what you have to say, all your degrees, your background, and your philosophy on movement, not only for golf, but other sports as well. Sports Interview with Anne LaGoria is brought to you in part by Baring. Baring is a daily charter service providing an ultra-efficient new mode of transportation and offers private jet conveniences on over-the-road travel. Visit BaringUS.com and by CIT. Put knowledge to work and grow your own business with CIT. Visit CIT.com. Welcome back to Sports Interview with Anne LaGoria. So glad to be joining you where I am every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 Eastern Standard Time. You can hear us from anywhere on the planet by visiting PeconicPublicBroadcasting.org. That's NPR's WPPB 88.3 FM. Again, we're at the PGA Merchandising Show in Orlando, Florida. And there's just so many fascinating stories here and so many incredible guests here. And one of them is sitting right next to me, Dr. Frank Frenari, who is a PhD, the CEO of the Biomech Sports and the co-inventor designer of the AccuLock putting system. Dr. Frank, your background is unbelievable. You have more degrees than I think anybody I've ever interviewed. So tell us about, well, first of all, I know you're from Western Pennsylvania, and we have something in common because my mom is from a very small town in Western Pennsylvania, and her father was a coal miner, and your father and family were in that whole coal mining arena as well. And so you've come a long way, let me tell you, from Western Pennsylvania, because my mom was the first one in her family to earn a college degree and to get her master's. And she's come a long way because you know how it is in Western Pennsylvania and some of those coal mining towns.
Yeah, I'm the first one in my family to speak in complete sentences. So it's kind of like that. Yeah, it was a great place to be from, though.
So talk about your golf, because I know in the you played very early in your life in Western Pennsylvania.
Yeah, my father was a good athlete, and I started playing golf at like age 4, I believe. I played up to age 16 and then decided to go back to school and took a hiatus from golf for about 40 years.
So you became a good golfer at an early age?
Yeah. There was not much to do back there besides work and hit the golf course.
Where'd you play in Western Pennsylvania?
At the VFW golf course in Indiana, Pennsylvania. For $25, I got a season membership there.
And so you graduated from high school very early.
Yeah, I did. I went to college a little earlier than most people, and then just went on to my other degrees.
What was your first interest as far as were you into all this at an early age, or did you kind of progress into the whole molecular study?
As you said, I grew up in the coal mining area of the country, and most of my family developed cancer. So I decided to go into cancer research and spent most of my career in biotechnology designing cancer medications and tests for cancer. And when you do that, most of the research involves around mathematically modeling how drugs move, things that sort of thing. So my background has always been in motion analysis, in designing products and pharmaceuticals and assays around the way things move. My first job as a young scientist was at Ohio University in Athens, Ohio, in the medical school, where we were doing motion analysis for the USA Olympic team, cycling team, marathon runners, and studying the grant for NASA, studying motion in space. So I've always been interested in motion, and after about 40 years of being in biotech, decided to come back and apply some of those principles to golf. In particular, we start off with putting. Motion is like anything else, whether it's a piece of DNA moving or whether you're moving a golf putter, it can be mathematically modeled, and there's an efficient way to do it, and there's an inefficient way to do it. So I was a pretty good golfer as a young kid, but could never putt. Putting was always seemed foreign to me and didn't seem like.
Who has that problem? Who's a good golfer and can't putt in this group? I think everybody can raise their hand on that one.
If you're like me, putting's more than half my game. So I wanted to just spend less time bending over and hurting my back putting the ball. So we sat down at Biomech and decided to model the physiology of the putting stroke and what the physics of that stroke would look like. And out of those equations came this device. So what Biomech does is really focus on the biology, because that's how you get the mechanics from your biology. So if you understand the biology in an intimate way, the solution to that movement is pretty simple and elegant, and that's what we do.
Okay, so Annie's going to, I know you're multitasking, Annie, but Annie works with Dr. Frank here, and can you just show the putter and so everybody sees what we're talking about, and can you set up, and I'll have Dr. Frank explain the whole science behind this.
So in any rotational movement, whether it's golf, tennis, bowling, throwing a baseball, there's an optimal differential lean between your leading shoulder and your trailing shoulder, which allows you to rotate back through the motion and forward, right? So years ago, and I don't know why, putting sort of veered off that path. So Annie, if you set up, and I want you to look how her shoulders are tilted, we were taught, at least I was, and probably most of you, that you want to square your shoulders up, do some sort of isometric contraction where you lock your center of your body down, which I don't know any motion in life where you lock your joints and they're that tense. What happens is when you do that, your trailing shoulder is too flat and you can't rotate back and forward. So you're forced to use your hands and arms. In all sports, your hands and arms really should just be connecting the device to your core and your quads. So putting is no different. It's that simple. So what we did at Biomech, we figured, okay, I can sit up here all day and tell you to do that, but unless I make a device that puts your shoulders in that tilt, you're going to sort of fight that. So what we did is, if you envision putting your arms together in front of you, the angles that the triangle makes are about 12 degrees. So the forward shaft lean on this putter is about 12 degrees, and when you address the putter and set it down and wrap yourself around it, you'll see that Annie's forward arm is about 12 degrees, and you notice her shoulders will go right into that lean. So now we've got you set up properly to make that turn. So the second thing we did is a third of your brain is for vision. We do everything with our eyes, right? Everything that we do, we do because we see it. By liberating the shaft from the front of the putter face, most of you probably don't realize that when you look at a putter, at least a quarter or a third of that putter face is occluded by the shaft. So, for instance, if you take a picture in your house and knock it out by about a quarter of an inch, you can tell it's crooked. If you put a plant on one side of it, you can't tell it's out of line. The putter shaft just does that. So we took a number of golfers, a few hundred guys, with their putter from 12 feet, asked them to light up a putt, and they were probably about a cup outside of the hole on each side, which isn't very good. We gave them this putter, which the shaft doesn't occlude it. They were about a ball out. So this putter actually helps you line up the putt much, much easier than a traditional putter. That being said, took the same 100 people, gave them 5 golf balls, and told them to set up, because you need to set up in putting the exact same way every time. The problem with putting is if you can't line the putt up properly and you can't see the hole, right, because we look perpendicular to the line, which kind of doesn't make any sense. So if you envision, like when you bowl, I don't know if a lot of people bowl, but when you line up with a bowling ball, you look at a fixed pin, you look at the alley, right? You can triangulate that and your body will be exactly in the same spot. So in order for us to get your head in the same spot, we simply have a little optical device here. There's a concavity on the putter with a curvilinear line. When you set that putter down, your brain will automatically like the T that's formed like that, and your dominant eye will be exactly in the center of this line of your putt. So rather than having a differential angle because your eyes are behind the putt, there's a zero angle through the entire putt from zero to infinity. So it makes it much easier. Your brain likes one single plane. It doesn't like to be in an arc, which traditional putting puts in an arc. So when you set up over the putt, now we have your dominant eye over the center of that hole, and it means the rest of your body is in the exact same position every single time, much like when you bowl. So because of that, the ball's in the exact same spot. We simply calculated the proper loft angle on the putter to give you the perfect overspin because you're striking this ball the same way every time. If you can imagine a three-dimensional box that you want to keep your arms and putter in, the angles to do that anatomically are about 12. So Annie's putter, the lean is 12, the lie is 12, her feet are 12, her knees are at 12, her hips are 12, and her shoulders at 12. That simple box allows you to simply, using your core and your quads, which is the way you swing the golf club, right? You can take it straight back through the stroke, and by just accelerating through, you'll find out with a small weight shift, just like you do when you swing the club, your center of balance never moves, so you don't have to decel, you don't have to recoil. It's much like if I told you to throw a baseball and ask you to sort of back off while you're going forward, it seems funny, doesn't it? But because we're off balance when we locked on our body to putt the way we do now, we're falling forward with the putt. So this allows you to stay balanced for the entire putting stroke.
I know you haven't – it sounds like you've done this a few times, describing this whole procedure, but it's a different-looking kind of putter. It has a lot to do with how you set up to the ball, like obviously most putting pertains to. But what do you say about that? Are you getting a lot of kind of not criticism but questions about the way the putter looks and how different it is?
Sure. If you just pictured this was an 8-iron or a wedge and you set up to it and made the same stroke, that's exactly what this putter does for you, right? So this putter is an orthotic. It actually sets your body up to where you need it to be. So you don't need the 17-point checklist anymore to determine all the steps you need to putt. You set this putter down, wrap yourself around it, look at the tee, make a nice, easy stroke towards the hole. That's all you have to do. And not only because the face doesn't turn because it's up against your forearm, not only will you make more putts, your quality of your misses are better. So for me, hitting a 10-foot putt 6 feet past the hole or missing a 4-footer for par is just like getting hit in the stomach. And the genetic and neurotransmitter equivalent of that look kind of sounds like this. When you do that, you generate a neurotransmitter called GABA, which is a depressive neurotransmitter. So it takes 20 minutes to metabolize that. For the next 20 minutes, I don't care who you are, your next hole is going to be garbage. So if I can keep you leaving the green with a tap in, or a putt that's going to look like it's going to go in, or one that you're going to make all the time, the next tee, your mood's going to be much more level. So because putting is that important.
If you're just joining us, I'm talking to Frank Frenari, PhD, Chief Executive Officer of Biomech Sports and the co-inventor and designer of this AccuLock putting system that Annie has been displaying. Let's hear it for Annie, who's been showing us what the putter can do. And have you gotten any – what's the feedback been like at the show here, Frank? Because it is – it's so different looking.
Oh, it's been really good. We have a number of guys on tour who have used it. Shingo Katayama won the Japanese Masters last month with his stick. We have Heath Slocum uses it on tour. We have Tim Clark put it in play last week. You probably saw that. So it's working. And stop by our booth. Biomech is developing a number of motion analysis and educational instructional products to help every golfer swing better. And because of that development, this putter came out of those studies.
It's fascinating, Dr. Frank. And you also have a lot of relationships with the U.S. cycling team, marathoners, NASA. I mean, you're working in all sports, right?
Yes, we are. And we're also working with, because of the nature of this putter, because it stabilizes your body and arms, we're also working with the American Parkinson's Disability Association, Disabled American Veterans, other movement disorder folks, American Blind Association. This putter stabilizes you from resting tremor, dyskinesia caused by Parkinsonian tremors, resting tremor, aging, injury, that sort of thing. So it's a real healthcare device. It also sets you up in a much more upright stance, which is going to keep your back feeling a lot better. Putting is one of the worst things we can do because we bend over like this. Back injuries are the number one expenditure in healthcare. This putter will keep you in the game longer and allow you to play healthier as well.
Fascinating man, fascinating background. On another note, you do a lot of fundraising for cancer research, cancer prevention. Can you talk a little bit about your work in that area?
Sure. I have a foundation called the Damani Foundation. My background is in antineoplastics and tests for cancer. The whole goal in America is to identify things earlier, actually prevent the cancer by being healthier. So the Damani Foundation does just that. It's sort of having a better tomorrow by starting today. So if you get tested earlier,
eat better, exercise, eat right. Don't wait till something looks bad on you and then go. As a person who's worked in a cancer center for many years, the worst thing that we find is when somebody waits too long, comes to us, and in the outcome, we can't save them, we can't fix them. So please get tested early. If something seems funny, go get checked out and learn and read and learn about how your body works, because this is where we live, right? Take care of yourself, and you'll find out you live a lot longer and better.
Dr. Frank Frenari, thank you so much. Let's hear it for the doctor who does so many amazing things in the field of medicine, in putting. Annie, thank you so much for your help. I could talk to you for hours. I hope we can get together again and continue our conversation. Thanks for all you do. It's a real pleasure. Amazing man. Thanks so much, Dr. Frank Frenari.
Don't you worry about it. Take care of yourself. And let me worry about it. Let me worry about it.
Welcome back to Sports Interview with Ann Liguori. Delighted to be recording this show here on the floor of the PGA Show in Orlando, Florida. And I'm delighted to say hello to Dick Sullivan, President and CEO, PGA Tour Superstore. Good to see you, Dick. How are you? So now, interesting background, Dick, with your Home Depot. You were a senior VP, CMO, 7 years with the Atlanta Falcons, EVP, and obviously with the success of the PGA Tour Superstores around the country, it's obvious that you brought your marketing expertise to this new position.
Yeah, I think in every one of the businesses, the similarities. I mean, at Home Depot, it was all about the experience. And when Arthur Blank purchased the Falcons in 2002, 30 days later, I found myself in the NFL. I never expected to be in the NFL, but we looked at it as an opportunity to take the Atlanta Falcons in Atlanta to a whole new level and create an experience around that football team. And the same thing with the PGA Tour Superstores. It's more than just buying product. It's more about the whole experience inside of our store.
Talk a little bit about this store. I know you have a new one on Long Island, opened, what, about a year ago? This is, we're a New Yorker, so all golfers have been to that store and have heard of that store. You have one right down the road here from this Orange County Convention Center, right?
About a mile and a half down the road, yep. Just down the street on Sand Lake and Turkey Lake. So anybody that's here that hasn't had a chance to go over to that store should go over to that store. It's a fun store. We've actually been very busy the last few days. We've had a lot of people from all over the world who have been visiting that store.
What do you think the secret of your success has been, first with Home Depot, then with the Atlanta Falcons, and now with the Superstore?
Well, I think it's the same model. We used to say at Home Depot that 99% of the answers came from the floor of the store. It wasn't some corporate executive. It was really the associates who were close to the customer. And I think when we took on the Falcons project and tried to turn that around, and we were number 32 in just about every metric in the National Football League in terms of sales and sponsorships. At the end of the day, what we did is we just listened to the customer, and they said they wanted a great experience. And I would say the amount of research we do with consumers, with the PGA Tour Superstore, I mean, they tell us, I mean, ultimately the customer votes on what products they buy and services they want. And so we continuously do research and listen to the customer, just as we've done in all the other businesses.
And you have a lot of internet deals going on as well, right?
Yeah, I mean, we're actually the worldwide provider for the PGA Tour. So when you go to pgatour.com and hit shop, it'll take you to pgatoursuperstore.com. And we were just talking about it actually earlier. I mean, it's amazing. In markets like Orlando or Naples or even on the West Coast in the desert, Arizona, we get lots of international customers that come and visit. And in Orlando in particular, we get many customers. And then they go back online and they're buying from all over the world, which is really great. So it's not just here in the United States. It's all over the world people are buying from us.
So I'm curious to get your thoughts on the buzz here at this show. It seems like it's been really, really busy. I don't know, is it because of the weather? Is it just because is that indicative of the state of golf right now? What are your thoughts about the buzz here?
Well, everybody has a different opinion on it. I think, the opening day on Wednesday, some would say it had to do with the rain, but there definitely was buzz. There definitely was attendance. I heard demo day was up by 9 or 10%, so that in itself is a good indicator. I mean, I think that over the last couple of years, after 2012, when we sort of hit a peak in terms of equipment sales, and then the last couple of years has been on a decline, I think we reset in 2015, and I think we stabilized. We have more sanity in terms of life cycles, in terms of new launches of product. So I'm really excited. I mean, obviously coming off a year when the television ratings are up 20%, we have all these new great players. We have the Ryder Cup this year. We have the Olympics this year. I mean, we're going to open up 5 stores. We think this is going to be the best year for golf. We're excited.
I think so. I mean, I can feel it here. And there's so much new. There's so many new products, apparel companies, a lot of new, as you just saw, new putters coming out. I mean, there's just so much out there. How does one decide what you actually carry in the store nationwide?
Well, it's a really good question because, you know, often we want to buy everything in our stores because we have such large stores. I would say that I've seen some really new, different products. I mean, the high tops that Ricky was wearing with the joggers, I think is what it is. I love seeing new fashion on the golf course. I'm not sure that would be right for me, but introducing and what Under Armour has done, I mean, they're coming out with new footwear. I mean, we obviously had the Spieth effect last year. But I'd say on the hard goods, I'm so impressed with every one of the manufacturers. I mean, even for Ricky Fowler to win this past weekend with the King, we actually had people on Friday at our Orlando store lined up wanting to buy that driver. So it's just really exciting to see, you know, new products that are coming out already this year. And so it's a challenge because you can't buy everything. But, you know, we try to buy what we think the customer wants.
But it is a superstore, so you have a lot of room.
We definitely have a lot of room.
So now tell me about the retail industry overall. It's certainly not dead, obviously. As you say, there's a buzz here. There's so many new products, and you don't have enough room to, you know, to say yes to everybody. So talk about the retail business overall.
Well, we wouldn't be opening up 5 stores this year. I mean, it's the biggest growth, certainly, of anybody in the industry. I would say that, you know, given the environment that we see, given all the demand that we've had over the last few years, last year we opened up in major markets like Orlando and another one in Dallas and smaller markets like Birmingham. I mean, we're going to open up in Tucson next week. We're going to open up in Salt Lake City in about 60 days. Then we're going to open up 2 more before Father's Day that we're just in the midst of signing leases on. I mean, we look at it that we think we have a better mousetrap than others out in the marketplace. And at the end of the day, because of all the custom fitting that we do in our stores, we don't charge anything. And now probably 70% of the equipment going outside of our stores is actually custom fit. So you get the right shaft, you get the right grip. And that's a big difference in where we were just even a few years ago. And the technology out on the floor here has changed just in the last 3 or 4 years. So the ability to fit someone even better is so much more exciting than it was a few years ago.
Dick, I know you were recently elected to the National Golf Foundation's Board of Directors. Congratulations. Can you talk a little bit about your work with them?
Yeah, I'm very honored and flattered. Was elected in December. Our first meeting is going to be in May, but I think they're going to keep me busy over the next few months. I will say, just in the short time that I've spent with Joe Baddetz, CEO of the National Golf Foundation, I think it's really terrific what we're seeing in terms of the millennials coming into the game. I mean, it was 7 years ago when Get Golf Ready started, and now there's about 2,600 facilities that have Get Golf Ready going. There was 100,000 participants just last year that have come into the game. So all the work that's being done and all the tracking that's being done and the retention now of people that are coming into the game, because there's still 25 million golfers. We lose some, but, you know, we lose a couple million come in. I think the work that they're doing to be able to sort of diagnostically look at, you know, how do we improve the game and how do we get more participation is really good. I'm excited to be part of the board.
And more women are playing, and I hope you is reflected in your store because they're always looking for new styles and clothes that are not only stylish but very practical, too, with pockets in the right places. And, you know, they're serious golfers, and they want to have serious selection at stores.
When we opened up the Denver market, it was sort of a surprise to everyone. We actually were selling more women's apparel than we were selling men's apparel. And that's because there were brands like Sport Haley and brands that they couldn't normally get to unless it was at a green grass shop. So we carry a myriad of brands that are, you know, really the top brands, and you'd expect that. I mean, the Good Housekeeping seal of approval with the PGA Tour on the front of our building. So it's really exciting, I mean, to see. I think in the overall increase in Get Golf Ready, about 60% of the participants now are either young girls or women. And so that's a major improvement. It's not just a guy's game, obviously. And in markets where we are in the desert or in Arizona or Naples and Orlando. I mean, there's just a wonderful mix of players that come through our stores.
Great. And we were talking about growing the game every year, and women and junior golfers are just so passionate about the sport, and it's good that you cater to them, not only women, but juniors as well.
Yeah, we had last year, I think we had 3,000 kids go through clinics. And they're all free clinics. So we have clinics for beginners, but to see these kids and what they do at small ages and having fun in simulators, and we do like underwater putt-putts, and we do all kinds of animations. So it makes it fun. I mean, at the end of the day, this is a hobby. This should be fun. And we try to do that in our stores with all the kids. We have giant putting greens, as you know. So, you know, it's just, we want it to be fun. We want it to be a great experience, not just someone just to come in and buy product.
We have an exciting year upon us, as you know, with the Olympics, obviously the Ryder Cup, all the LPGA, the new tournaments on the LPGA Tour, and just it's going to be a really exciting year. I know it's February, but golf season is soon upon us, if not right in the middle of it. What are your thoughts about the Olympics and golfing, an Olympic sport?
I think it's great. I mean, I think the more exposure we can get. And, I mean, I've heard different players on the PGA Tour say they never dreamt of getting a gold medal. You know, obviously they dream of getting a jacket or getting, you know, some trophy that they can hoist up. But when you talk to them more and more, it's going to be an unbelievable experience for these guys. And so I think it's great. And to have it be at the same time with the Ryder Cup and the Olympics, and to condense down those majors, there's so much competition out there with all these, everybody calls them the young guns. I just think it's great for golf and great for the sport.
It's going to be a great year. And before I let you go, Dick, I know you worked with the NFL Atlantic Falcons, so I can't let you go until you give us a Super Bowl pick.
Boy, I saw Von Miller and Ware, what they did to Tom Brady, and I'm a Boston kid. It's really hard to pick against Denver, but my daughter goes to Auburn, and she sat beside Cam Newton in class, and he's a Georgia kid. I don't know if they can shut down Cam Newton, so I gotta go with the Panthers. They're in the NFC South. That's our Falcons division, so I gotta go with them.
Any Panthers fans out here? Thank you so much, Dick Sullivan, President, CEO, PGA Tour Superstore. Continued success.
Thank you.
Thanks for stopping by to talk to Sports Interview.
Thank you, Anna. Thanks all for what you do. Your foundation, your charity work, your tournament up in New York every year. I think this is year 16, I believe.
18.
I mean, just remarkable. The work you do for cancer, for autism, and so many other charitable foundations. Thank you so much for all the work you do.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Thanks. Let's hear it for Dick Sullivan, PGA Tour Superstore. Sports Interview with Anna Gorey is brought to you in part by Bearing. Bearing is a daily charter service providing an ultra-efficient new mode of transportation and offers private jet conveniences on over-the-road travel. Visit BearingUS.com and by CIT. Put knowledge to work and grow your own business with CIT. Visit CIT.com. Welcome back to Sports Interview with Anna Liguori. You can hear me every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 Eastern Standard Time from anywhere on the planet at PeconicPublicBroadcasting.org. All you New Yorkers can hear me on The Fan, WFAN, when I cover the Masters and the U.S. Open and all the major championships, and on CBS Sports Radio Network throughout the country. Each show is archived at AnnLiguori.com, and if you're around May 23rd on the east end of Long Island, we have the Anne Liguori Foundation Charity Golf Classic that raises money for cancer research and cancer prevention. It's at Friar's Head this year on the east end of Long Island. So we're delighted to be back at Friar's Head. It's our 18th charity event. It's our third straight year at Friar's Head, which is an incredible golf course overlooking the Long Island Sound. I'm so delighted to be talking to my buddies here, Steve and Nick Phillips of the Sprite Golf Reflective System, both from Ohio. I grew up in Brecksville, Ohio, outside of Cleveland, and you all are from that area. So welcome, Nick. Good to see you. I didn't know you were going to be here. I knew Steve was going to be here, but the brothers are in town.
Well, we're back here to see you, Ann, and we have a radio show in Cleveland on WHK in Cleveland, and we had Ann Liguori on that show. Thank you so much for joining us, and we'll have you back on again, and welcome you back to Northern Ohio when you come back. And again, thank you for all the fine work you're doing with your foundation work and using your celebrityism to actually help things like cancer research and so on. But Steve and I are doing, and especially Steve, is that we're involved in trying to make the game of golf survive and sustain through the next decades by making it more exciting. And one of the things we've been finding out is that there's a need for what we call LRTs, laser range targeting. And we find out that 60 to 70% of golfers out there, especially the younger golfers, go out and they use laser range finders to find out how many yards there are to get to the hole or to get to a hazard or something. And to make the game more exciting, the game has to be more playable and then more enjoyable. And with that, Steve has spent over 4 years in developing an economical target so that your golf course can buy them. And they're easy to see, so not only the kids but senior golfers can see these things and use their targets. But Steve brought some with us here. And Steve, tell us how you started the whole thing.
Well, first of all, thank you for having us here, Ann. We've known Ann for a few years now, and it really was because of the golf show, PGA Golf Career Show, where we first met. But it all came about around 4 or 5 years ago when the golf industry, especially in Ohio, having a difficult time getting members in, keeping money going, and I belonged to a club that was about ready to fail. So we had some investors come in quickly, and they had bought the facility out, and I had a laser rangefinder, and I told these gentlemen, I said, boy, you know, there's this glass prism out there. Can you buy one of these for the course, 18 of them? And they looked at $50, $40 a piece and said, no, we can't do it. We have more things to do. So I worked a little bit with 3M. I worked with the people down here at the Villages, and I wanted to get something that was surprisingly affordable so that every golf course can support laser rangefinders and make it more accurate and easier. So what I developed was a polyurethane item, and it is worked out with 3M on the glass prism.
Let me hold this up so everybody can see it. Okay.
And what you're holding there is the one that we had worked with at the Village Golf Courses. They have 16 championship courses. And we've ran over 16. I'm sorry about that.
Yeah. 16 is a lot.
Yeah, and they have tested over 100,000 rounds with this particular product and helped me change the design a few times also. So now we think we're here, and I've also worked with the TPC out of Louisiana. And this year we brought out what we call the Elite. It's a smaller version, less intrusive, and the interesting thing is it's affordable. We are here at the show at the Wittig booth, which is a golf supplier company, at 2443 is the booth number, and they're selling the product for us. Now, with this, we worked with some of the golf pros in the past, especially at the Villages, and they found out the original one, which is around 1.4 inches in diameter. The older folks see it, it's bigger, and they can actually buy a laser rangefinder now. And when they put the laser rangefinder to their eyes and point at it, they get a response back. It's accurate, it's efficient, and it actually helps the pace of play.
Awesome. So how's it going this year? As it goes?
Very good.
You've invented this. I mean, this is somebody who just started from scratch and put this whole thing together.
Well, thank you for that. It's going very good this year. And we are over 250 golf courses. We're also around the world, and we're also talking to UK distributors. So it's kind of after 3 years, it is true what they say about entrepreneurs and people with ideas. It's coming true. I mean, my idea that I've worked with for so long is coming through, and my objective or my goal for the future is that instead of a superintendent of a golf course or a pro wanting to see an acorn nut on top of a flagstick, they see a sprite. Let me tell you a little bit about the word sprite because it sounds kind of different. Nick here thought about the name, actually, because sprite is a meteorological term.
Okay.
When you have a heavy thunderstorm and it's a lot of electricity bombing down at the ground and lightning, every so often there is a pop up into the atmosphere because it's that strong and that bright. And it's a cone shape that goes up, and the name of that cone is a sprite. So that's the name behind what we're doing right here.
I love it. Well, good luck with it, guys. Do you have anything else you want to show? We have this. I mean, it's hard to kind of visualize what this does.
Well, we were talking to one of the vendors here in the show today and told them that as we're explaining what they are, to remember our discussion today, because 5 years from now you'll see these on top of every flagstick in the world. So
I like that.
They're going to be all over. They'll be very, very
common.
Confidence. Yeah, so here you are looking at it first thing here at the PGA Show.
Awesome. Thank you so much. I appreciate you guys coming on. Did you want to plug up?
Well, no, just you asked what's next, and I have hazard sticks that we're going to be bringing out next year, and I'm also working with the PGA Magazine and looking at getting more people responsive to going to the driving range, get more people out to the driving range, because if we could get people to enjoy hitting a golf ball, their next step is to go to the golf course. So it's just fun working in a business that I love to do. I'm not a good golfer, but it's fun.
I just love the fact that you guys are inventors and that you're living the dream and doing something you're passionate about. And you're from Ohio, so you're good guys. Let's hear it for Steve and Nick Phillips, the brothers from Ohio, who have come up with this incredible Sprite Golf Reflective System. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Ann.
Thank you, Ann. Have a
good day. Thanks so much for sharing it with us. Welcome back to Sports Interview with Ann Liguori, where I am every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 Eastern Standard Time. You can hear us from anywhere on the planet on NPR's PeconicPublicBroadcasting.org. If you're in New York, you can hear me on WFAN and all over the country on CBS Sports Radio Network. And if you're a passionate golfer and are very supportive of charity, I have the Ann Liguori Foundation Charity Golf Classic on Monday, May 23rd at Friar's Head. So make sure you see me after the show. I'll tell you all about that. We'd love to get you to participate. We do sell out every year. How are you? And we just get so much support from so many people in the golf industry that it's phenomenal. It's a very generous industry, isn't it, John and John? I'm going to give you the proper introduction in a second, but you know, if you can count on golfers to and the golf industry to be very supportive and very generous to so many causes.
Yeah, I suppose us at North and West Coast Links, Anne, we're delighted as always to help you out in your charity day at Friar's Head, and we look forward to coming over again next May.
All right, let me give you the proper intro because I kind of jumped the gun there. We're talking to Ireland's own John McLaughlin, the CEO of North and West Coast Links, and to John Farron, the general manager of Ballyliffin Golf Club in Northern Ireland. I've been there, but it's been a while. We have to get back there soon. But to all you people who love to golf internationally, I've always been an ambassador for golf in Ireland and Northern Ireland. To me, there are nothing like the links courses there. In fact, one third of the links courses in the world are in Ireland and Northern Ireland, which is a staggering stat. That's according to Alison Metcalf, who will also be part of this show, and she's with Tourism Ireland. So tell us a little bit about North and West Coast golf, because I play golf all over Ireland and Northern Ireland, and I love flying into Shannon on the West Coast, renting a car, and exploring all your golf courses on the West Coast and North. It's just, they're just beautiful. The people are so hospitable. They welcome Americans, and you won't have a better time than golfing in Ireland, in my opinion.
Absolutely.
How'd you like that intro, John?
I know. There's nothing much more to say, Anne, in fairness. You have it all well covered. Yeah, so we've been in business for 27 years at this stage. And Anne, actually, you're getting younger looking every year. I don't know how you do it. So we're a long time putting packages together to Ireland. We're based in Galway as a company, and we have golf courses in like Connemara, Cairn, Enniscrone, up into Donegal, to Nairnham, Port New, Rosapenna, and John is here, the general manager of Ballyliffin, and then into Northern Ireland, so Castle Rock, Port Stewart, the beautiful Royal Port Rush, and across to Ardglass. And as you probably know, Royal Port Rush is the Open Championship venue for 2019. We had the pleasure of spending some time this morning with Graham McDowell, and we were discussing that and Irish Open.
Name dropper, Graham McDowell. You just happened to hang out with Graham McDowell this morning?
Well, you know, those guys, you know, Graham and Rory and Darren Clark and Padraig Harrington, they are the fantastic ambassadors for Ireland. And, you know, no better guys to talk about Ireland when they win tournaments and when they compete. And they're passionate about it. We're all passionate about our golf. We're nuts about golf in Ireland, as you know. The links golf courses are what you want to come and play and have some fun when you're there.
And you were wearing a shirt that had Ard Glass on it in Northern Ireland, and it's a gem. It might not be a course that you hear a lot about compared to Royal Port Rush or Royal County Down, but we had a wonderful time at Ard Glass, and it's just incredible. It's overlooking the ocean, and the holes are just spectacular. So, even the courses that don't get a lot of publicity in Ireland and Northern Ireland are just so worth playing. They're just hidden gems.
Yeah, there are so many golf courses in Ireland, and especially the Lynx golf courses, and that you've never heard of, really. So Ard Glass, and Anne, you were very instrumental in making Ard Glass a household name when you asked Rory the question when he won last year about Ard Glass. But yeah, fantastic. I still have the shirt on, by the way. I haven't taken it off.
Well, this was at the PGA Championships. Where were we? With Rory McIlroy, and I asked him, because when we went to Ard Glass, we saw so many miniature Rorys playing golf. And it was so impressive because these kids couldn't have been more than 5, 6, 7 years old. And his impact, Rory McIlroy's impact in Ireland and around the world, just, inspiring these young boys and girls to play is phenomenal. So when I asked him at the press conference, all the guys in Ard Glass heard it. And they were a little happy about that, weren't they?
Yeah.
Nice plug for them.
It all helps, Anne. And you've been a great ambassador, as I said, and we thank you for all your help. And we hope that you're going to come back to us again this coming season and bring some golfers with you as you do.
If I don't go to Ireland every year, then it's not the best year. Let me just say that. Withdrawal symptoms. Now, John Farron, who is the GM of Ballyliffin, talk a little bit about Ballyliffin. And you can get to Ballyliffin, but it's the northern, probably most point of Northern Ireland, right?
Yeah, we're actually in the Republic of Ireland, but we're the most northerly club in Ireland, right on the tip of the country. Two links courses, as you said. Coming to Ireland to play golf, it's all about links golf. And, we're blessed in what we have on the north and west coast with, RCD just being announced as the number one course in the world on Golf Digest rankings. Royal Port Rush getting the Open Championship back. And the real focus in Ireland is switching, finally, to the north and west coast. We had our troubles in the past. That's all behind us now, and we're finally seeing some traction in getting visitors coming into our area. And it's a real discovery trip for most of the U.S. golfers that come in because they haven't been to the area before, and they're discovering the hidden gems, like you're saying, like Ard Glass, Port Salon, Rosapenna, Nairn an Port Lou. There are so many. The list is endless. And these are, as you say, we have a third of the Lynx courses in the world, so we are really blessed, and it is a real population concentration of wonderful golf.
And I think I said it before, but I think what makes it so incredible, the courses speak for themselves, but the people are so hospitable. They really want Americans to go to Ireland and play golf, and they make you feel so welcome, and there's a lot to do off the golf course as well, right?
Yeah, as John has often said, it's all about the 19th hole in Ireland, and that is the real experience that guys take from their trips, meeting members in clubs where, they're made feel very welcome because, the golf tourism is very, very important to the rural economies that most of these golf courses, these seaside golf courses, are located off the beaten track. And, it's very important that we get the visitors there to sustain and develop these courses and make them world beaters.
Let me ask John McLaughlin. So if you all want to go to Ireland and fly to Shannon on the West Coast, put together a nice 7-day trip for all these people out here who are looking to bring the clubs, play some links course, have some nice dinners, go to a couple castles and some manors and just have a great time.
Yeah, I mean, it's not that hard to put together a beautiful itinerary for that area. You're coming into Shannon, you're driving through Galway, you play Connemara. You stay in Glenlowabby, 5-star hotel in Galway. You go on and you play Carn. You play in Enniscrone. You stay in the Great Mount Falcon. And then you head up to Donegal. You stay in Harvey's Point, beautiful hotel there. Play Donegal Golf Club, Nairn an Port Noo. Stay in Rosapenna, has a fantastic 4-star hotel. Over to Ballyliffin, where John is, and a number of good hotels there. The Ballyliffin Townhouse, the Ballyliffin Lodge and Spa. And then great hotels in Northern Ireland. The Hastings Hotel Group have 6 great hotels, with a new one coming on stream in Belfast in a couple of years' time. But they have it really well covered. Bushmills Inn in near Port Rush is fantastic. So, golf is one thing, but golf is only part of it. So it's when we put itineraries together, we're very mindful that you know, we want them to see, everyone to see the golf courses, but the fishing and the horse racing, and you know, there's so many things to do in Ireland. And you'll be talking to Alison Metcalf, as you said. Tourism Ireland and Fáilte Ireland have developed the Wild Atlantic Way, which is the longest coastal route, driving route in the world. It starts in Donegal and runs right through to Cork in the southwest. But all of the hidden gems along the way have now opened up, little restaurants, new businesses opening, and it's a beautiful way to spend a couple of weeks.
Before I let you guys go, what's the key to playing your best golf on links courses? John, you're the pro, right?
I'm no pro. Well, you know, it is a little different, and it takes a bit of adjustment, but keeping the ball as low to the ground as possible in the wind and swinging as easy as you can, you try and force it in some of these links courses, and you'll pay the penalty. So keep it on the fairway and keep it low.
Make it sound so easy. Now, it's so inspiring to play on links courses. I always play my best golf on links courses. I just think you know, hopefully rise to the occasion, because you're in such beautiful – I think they build links courses in the most beautiful properties in the world, really overlooking, you know, the oceans and water and just beautiful scenery. It's just stunning. So I thank you guys for joining me every year. You always are my anchors on this show every year. And I can't thank you enough for donating to the Anne LaGoria Foundation Charity Golf Classic. I hope you can come and play May 23rd at Friar's Head on the east end of Long Island. And John and John donate a golfing trip to west and north coast Ireland. And you get to visit and play a lot of these incredible golf destinations. You have a map here. There's a brochure, guys, that he left here on some of the tables with all the great golf courses in your area. So, and they'll be around if you want to talk to them. Thanks so much. John McLaughlin, CEO of North and West Coast Links, and John Farron, General Manager, Ballyliffin Golf Club in Northern Ireland. You guys are great. Thank you. Thank you so much for joining me on this special edition of Sports Interview with Anne LaGoria. I want to thank Dr. Frank Fineri from Aculog Putting System. I want to thank Dick Sullivan from the PGA Tour Superstore, the president and CEO. I want to thank the Phillips brothers from Ohio with Sprite Flag Reflectors, and my buddies from Ireland. Thank you so much. My thanks to Scott Valerie, who produced this show today. Thank you so much. Biggs is here. All my buddies are here. All your help is so appreciated. Kyle Lynch back in the studio in New York. I will talk to you next Saturday morning from 9 to 10 Eastern Standard Time right here on Sports Interview with Anne LaGoria. And don't forget to go to AnneLaGoria.com to hear all these shows. They're all archived on my website at AnneLaGoria.com. Have a great week, everybody, and enjoy the PGA Show. Thanks so much.